show producer is much better looking than previous show producers. So Drew's helping out in the studio today since John is gone and James is tied up, and it's a pain in the ass for us to even get into our own studio right now. So yeah, we apologize for being an hour late, guys, but that is the freaking nature of the beast in the current situation. So we had to wear all our cool PPE coming in here. Took a little while to get in, longer than we wanted to, but anyways, we're here now, all right? And here we go. All right, guys, so thank you so much to all of our patrons for doing what you do. Remember to send us your show ideas. Look at the blogs and the show reviews. Make sure that you're, you know, staying up to date with what goes on Patreon. John and I have some really cool things planned for Patreon and all of our Patreon members, so make sure that you guys are constantly looking at what's going on with that, all right? We are here in the AR500 Armor Studio. They are closed, for everybody who's wondering. In fact, fucking everything is closed, so you might as well just get used to it for now. But they are closed, but like many people, they're still taking all their online orders. I can tell you they're still here producing stuff. They're still here selling stuff and shipping stuff. So that's not a problem. If you have an order with them, don't worry. They're just not here in the shop. So there you go. All right. Last week, I made a mistake and said that it was going to be Jared on the show with us this week. I apologize. I got a week ahead of myself. That's actually next week. We're going to have Jared on the show with us talking about game management and fair chase and hunting and all that. This week, we did make the right Facebook post, but it's actually, we're going to be talking about preparing for all this crazy shit. And we'll get onto that in just a minute, but yeah, oops, sorry. Next week is going to be Jared, all right? So we got to talk a little bit about what is happening. Yeah, crazy shit. Oh, I'm going to adjust our mic real quick. Hold on, guys. Mike's a little bit better set up. So we got to talk about what's happening, because I get a lot of questions. Of course, you know, Drew and I talk about it every day, and so should you be talking with your close people about it every day. I stay in contact with all my people, our instructor staff, our friends, our family, and everyone's got a different opinion. And you hear a lot of rumors. Be careful about all the damn rumors. All right, don't get yourself wound up. So what's happening with this whole thing, we could do a whole show on, which we're kind of going to do a whole show on today. But as far as overall what's happening, look, just do what you normally do. If you're normally not panicking and normally taking good care of yourself and your people, just keep doing that. Start planning for this to go on longer. It's going to go on for a little while, I think. That's what it is. But whatever. We'll get into more of the preparation stuff here in a second. Here in Arizona, schools are closed through the end of the school year. State parks are closing. Public spaces are being managed. We were reading about even some of our hiking trails and things like that we like to go on are now being managed. They have state rangers there who are reducing, or not reducing, I mean, but constricting the amount of people that are allowed, you know, out there to make sure we maintain social distancing and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, be aware some places even outside that you want to go may not be available to you. So, I mean, that's a possibility. The demographic of the deaths I find particularly interesting. I was talking with a friend of mine just a few minutes ago online, and he was doing some looking into like the deaths in Italy, for example. Less than 1% of the deaths, or actually right at 1% of the deaths, are people under 50. The majority of the deaths, the median age for death over there is 79, right? Flu symptoms and all that, just like normal. There's a lot of weird shit that's going on with the reporting here and people not really reporting the demographic of who's actually dying. I've kind of said from the beginning, and this is a horrible thing to say, but I've kind of said from the beginning, hey, show me the bodies, right? And I don't mean physically show me the dead people. That's disrespectful. But I mean, show me the demographic of the people who are dying. If you want me to be concerned about something, fine. But show me that I need to be concerned about it. Show me that all this panic and all this worry is actually necessary. Show me that shutting down small businesses is necessary. Show me that kids not going to educational programs is necessary. Show me that me not being able to take my kids out to the fucking zoo is necessary. Prove to me that it's necessary. I'm not going to give in to overall panic and freaking out. I'm not going to do it. I never have. I'm not going to start now. Prove to me that the demographic of people who are dying matches the demographic of me. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm selfish and that I'm not going to take care of this or do the social distancing or anything like that because, hey, if it's not me, fuck everybody else. It's not that. It's that there are, if we know the demographic, then we can particularly keep those people safe. But we don't need to screw the entire freaking country over because a certain demographic of people is having a problem. That's a pretty big concern for me, is how they're not really talking yet about what's actually going on. So here's what we're doing. And by we, I mean Independence Training, the Arms Room Show, Drew and myself, our kids, our family, our people. Here's what we're doing. One, we're staying in better communication with each other. We're staying in constant communication with our instructors, our staff, especially guys we have that are currently working in this situation. We have folks on our instructor staff who are in the medical field. They're activated in National Guard and Reserve units. They've been deemed essential personnel and are being gathered up by the government again. So as all those things are happening, we're making sure we stay in good communication so that we know where all our people are at. We're doing comm checks with both radios and phones, email, etc. We're making sure that everybody has the most up-to-date information so that nobody's getting left behind in info. We're making sure that everyone has what they need. You know, there's a dog food fucking shortage going on right now, which is insane. And we needed some freaking dog food. So we were able to reach out to our group and say, hey, if someone finds some, let us know. One of our guys found some, bought as many bags as he could, and made sure to distribute it to the group because we pretty much all have dogs. So we're staying in contact with our people better. Hey, if you have this, I have this. Let's, you know, let's trade or let's make sure you get what you need kind of thing. So that's one thing we're doing. Another thing that we're doing is making sure that we are staying a little more sanitized after leaving public spaces. You know, I mean, here's the thing I'm struggling with is this whole thing. Wash your fucking hands. Has that been a thing that we weren't doing? Were people not washing? What kind of disgusting animals were not? And again, that's why I want to know the demographic of all these dead people. Are these low-income folks? And look, I'm not bagging on low-income people and saying they're dirty. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's a certain demographic of types of people they're going to have a harder time or pay less attention to staying clean. So what is the demographic of all these people that are dying, getting sick? Like, I heard Joe Diffie died. That sucks. They say he died from coronavirus. Fucking prove it. Prove that Joe Diffie didn't have some kind of, you know, pre-existing condition that made him more susceptible to getting a disease like this.
Did they even roll out that he even was contagious with coronavirus?
No, they just said he died. Anything.
Yeah.
Now, Tom Hanks and his wife spent 2 weeks in quarantine and they're better. And they're within the demographic age group.
Right. And they were in Australia. Mm-hmm. And they were quarantined. And I don't know if anybody follows him on Instagram, but he posted regularly mm-hmm. that it was just like the common flu. You know, they did stuff. They played games. They did dishes and things like that. And then they were tired. And they'd have to take a lot of naps. And it felt, you know, the cold chills, aches, pains. But now they're back in the States home because they're over it.
So we're trying to stay up to date with all this information, but we're also just being a little more clean. We're just making sure that we sanitize after we leave a public space.
Are we, though?
At home? Well, we're probably not. Because
I always do that regardless.
We're probably not, really. I would say we're being more attentive to it, especially with kids.
I think we're cleaning objects that kids touch more regularly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like I do a pretty good job of sanitizing our house pretty regularly just because we have two huge dogs and six kids.
Yeah.
So cleaning is a must at our house daily. So I haven't really changed my habits other than the fact that I clean more, like the Xbox controllers, I clean a little bit more, I think.
Well, that's what I mean is we're not really changing it. We're just like being more attentive
yeah.
to it. Right? We're paying more attention specifically to that.
I mean, we've always come home from places and first thing we always do is wash our hands regardless. Mm.
I mean, I'm still shaking people's hands. I'll be honest with you. I'm still shaking a lot of people's hands. I'll fist bump if someone wants a fist bump or elbow bump or whatever. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But I'm also fine with shaking people's hands. Look, in the natural course of being in public, you probably touch nastier shit than shaking someone's hand. You know, so I don't think I'm going to catch it that way, right? One thing we're definitely still doing is we're definitely still staying healthy. Meaning, I'm not going to stop exercising because the gym's closed. I'm not going to stop running because people don't want us to have, you know, connection with each other. No, we're still going out. We're still running. We're still staying fit. We're still eating as healthy as we can. If nothing else, that is going to help us fight this off.
Yeah.
We've had shows in the past where we very specifically talked about being hard to kill. And not just in a gunfight, but being hard to kill in life. I do not want, if I get the coronavirus and it wants to kill me, it's going to have to fucking try real hard. It's going to have to really get up early in the morning to freaking kill me. Because I'm already going to be in good shape against it. I've watched people, healthy people, fight off cancers and diseases and all that because of their level of good health and physical fitness. So that's another thing that we're doing. We're making sure, we've always done it anyway, but we're making sure we're being a little bit more attentive to that.
Yeah.
Most importantly, we're not panicking about anything. We're being realistic about the things that we need and making sure we have a little bit extra of that, but not just hoarding and being stupid. That is not good for your industry or for your community. That's not good for your local community. You don't want to be the person who's hoarding all the stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know some of you guys are like, well, I fucking do. Well, then fine. But don't be upset when then a lot of people maybe come to take it. If you read about what's going on in Italy right now, especially southern Italy, literally gang wars.
Yeah, it's a mafia stepping up now. Yeah. Now the government can't even do it. I mean, we literally were just reading this on the drive up here that the mafia is starting to take control and they're starting to break out violence and Italy can't control it because of all the mass hysteria going on where they aren't getting the supplies they need. They're starting to raid stores. They're not wanting to pay for anything because they don't have money to pay for anything, but they're raiding stores. Now, what was it? Two soldiers at every market so they can't...
Yeah, cops and soldiers at the market so that people can't hoard.
And raid.
Or raid or not pay.
But they have Facebook groups that we were reading that they're organizing raids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're targeting specific areas, and now the government can't control the people because they're uprising, and the mafia, they're worried that the mafia is going to start stepping in and start causing some real chaos, and they're what, week 3 or 4, I think it was, that we read into
something
this,
like that.
They're now starting to see an increase in violence. It's only a matter of time before, you know, it hits here.
So, we had to change. If there's the only thing that we have changed professionally from a course or class teaching standpoint is we have to change our alumni event that was going to happen tomorrow night, Tuesday the 31st. It was going to be Overwatch Precision. We're going to push that all the way into May. That was a choice decided by Overwatch. They have concerns, so they are going to push the event. That doesn't mean we're not going to do anything tomorrow, by the way. So, from 12 to 2 p.m. tomorrow, if you're one of our alumni, and I'll post this up on the alumni group on Facebook, by the way, but if you're one of Independence Training's alumni and you want to come out and do some shoot and move with us, we're going to be out on the range. We have some training in the morning anyway, so we're just going to stay after and shoot between 12 and 2. I know it's kind of a short window, but hey, if you're sitting at home not doing anything else, plan to be there 12 to 2. We're going to be doing some shooting and moving, carbines, handguns. I think we're going to bring out the body armor and play a little bit with that and work on our setups and everything. So if you want to come out and do some of that just for fun, it's $20 to cover your range fee, and that's it. So it's an alumni event tomorrow, Ben Avery Shooting Facility. All the information about which range we're going to be using is going to be in the alumni group, so you guys can hop on there and check that out. All right. But just so you know, the change there. We're still training, as I mentioned. Independence Training, still holding classes. Have a lot of classes up on the schedule. And plenty of people still signing up for them. So there's plenty of you guys out there that aren't as concerned about this maybe as others. And that's fine. I'm not poo-pooing on anyone who's super concerned about this. I know I have some friends even who are really freaked out about this for whatever reason. And they're doing the shelter-in-place thing. And they're not going out in public. And that's fine. That's fine. You do you. I'll do me. Right? Another thing for Independence Training is we're going to start doing live sessions on our Instagram every Monday, and that's probably going to be a forever thing. We've been playing with the live sessions over the last couple weeks, and they get a lot of attention, and people really enjoy them, and they're very interactive, so we're going to keep doing that. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to put it up to you guys as the people involved in the live sessions every week to basically give us the topic for the next week. So we have topics for the next 2 weeks. Tonight's is going to be about kind of setting up well, it's going to be kind of a couple of things. One is going to be setting up carbines. So we're going to have a lot of options to show you guys from a budget standpoint and a non-budget standpoint. We're going to talk about, do I go AR or AK? And we're going to be realistic about that. And we're going to talk about different calibers. Like, do I go 5.56, 300 blackout, 7.62, right? What am I going to choose? And we're going to be talking about that tonight. And then next week is going to be same time, same place, on Instagram Live. Going to be doing carry, concealed carry for ladies. So Drew will be helping us out with that and showing off some different concealed carry options for women that are realistic. None of this foo-foo bullshit that gets sold to women. Like, oh, you're a woman? Well, we're going to have you carry this in fucking stupid way where you'll never get access to your gun if someone's pounding you into the fucking pavement. We're not going to do that. We'll show you guys some realistic methods. So those are the next 2 weeks. If you have other ideas, freaking send them to us. You guys know how to get a hold of us. Arms Room Show or Independence Training is fine. And but will those will be Instagram Live sessions. I think we're doing them at 8. Let me double check that real quick.
With John?
No. Last week we did it with John from Redwire. And also, of course, my co-host here on the show. Let me just double check this real quick because I don't want to give you guys the wrong freaking information. 7. Sorry, 7 o'clock. So 7 o'clock every Monday, live discussion on Instagram. There you go. All right, John's not here to give you guys a Redwire Gear Moment, so I'm going to do it for you. Redwire Gear Moment is going to be about your everyday carry maintenance, right? Managing your everyday carry. Keep your knives sharp. When was the last time you checked the sharpness of your knife? Make sure that you're keeping it sharp, making sure that you're keeping it greased, making sure that you're keeping it cleaned. A lot of crap and lint and stuff gets built up in the knife. Try not to lose it, all right? But if you have that equipment, remember, now's a good downtime because everyone's at home or whatever. Now's the time to be going through your equipment. So going through your EDC. Look at your holster. Are the screws tight? Is there any wear and tear on the holster that needs to be changed or fixed now? Now's a good time to do it. Look at your lights. You know, how much time is on the battery? Have you administratively changed them recently if you haven't been using it that much? Check your lenses. Check and make sure you look at the O-ring and make sure that it's still waterproof. All these things are wear and tear items. Obviously, look at your firearm. Look at the overall maintenance schedule for your firearm. You know, what's the round count through the barrel? Look it up and what's the barrel life supposed to be? Should you be considering getting an extra barrel to keep on hand? How about an extra recoil spring? You know, how about trigger springs? Look at things like that might be having wear and tear beyond just your general, hey, keep it lubed and keep it roughly clean maintenance. Check your sights. Make sure they're tight. Look at your belt. Is there any extra wear and tear on the belt? Is the buckle wearing out? Is there any rips, tears, snags, anything like that on your equipment? Look at all your other EDC gear, your backpacks, your freaking, you know, shoes. Are your shoes getting busted up and worn out? Is it time to get new shoes? Is it time to rotate shoes? You know, if you have extra shoes, which I hope you do, is it time to rotate those, you know, into circulation and start breaking them in? Now's the time, since a lot of people have downtime, start looking at maintenance generally of your EDC gear, all right? So Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. All right, today's topic started like any other topic that we have with a rant, I think, a couple weeks ago. But it's preparing for the coronavirus, bird flu, swine flu, MERS, SARS, Y2K, and the end of the Mayan calendar. In other words, I'm creeping up on 40 at this point, and I have survived a lot of end-of-the-world events. I survived many panics. I have been promised, I mean fucking promised, that this would be the end of civilization, that we would be boogalooing, or whatever the current term was during all these events. It's always something different. I have been promised that the water would be shut off, the electricity would be shut off, we'd be back to the Stone Age. I have been promised that this next pandemic would wipe out life as we know it, kill 2 million people across the globe. It would reset society and the calendar and all this other shit. I have been promised this shit, and it has never been delivered.
I feel like you're sad.
I'm not saying I'm sad. I'm definitely to the point where I'm like very skeptical. I'm very skeptical about the fact that people possess the capability to not freak the fuck out over every little thing that happens.
Well, that's society now.
When we're looking at preparing for these types of events, how do you prepare for the coronavirus? How did you prepare for bird flu, swine flu, MERS, SARS, Y2K, or the end of the Mayan calendar? How did you prepare for the recession? Honestly, all the events that I just mentioned have not impacted me as hard as the recession and crash of 2008. In 2008, I got hosed. I lost a ton of money in my freaking market accounts and my stocks. I mean, screwed, right? I waited too long on some things because I was hoping that everything was going to bounce back, and it didn't. Employment was tough. Making a living was difficult. A lot of people were obviously going through this pain.
Yeah, I was working at the bank. I had just started at Wells Fargo. That was fun.
There was still toilet paper on the shelves.
Yeah, there was.
There was still plenty of food on the shelves. That wasn't a problem.
Nope.
The problem was nobody had any money to pay for it.
Correct.
You had a record number of unemployment, record number of people on government assistance. All that shit was amazing.
Yeah. Banks made a lot of money off of overdraft fees.
Oh, God. Well, banks made a lot of money causing the fucking problem to begin with.
Well, right. Right? But they had to set some certain laws about overdraft fees because people were getting overdrafted so incredibly bad that they did make that law. Yeah, because they were doing it by item. So now I think they cap you that you can only get so many overdraft fees a day.
Yeah, it's one per day, right?
No.
But isn't it per item?
It is per item. But
they can't draft you the next day.
Correct.
Yeah, if you're overdrawn or whatever, the next day they can't hit you again. You get one fee for that thing, that's it.
Correct. Yeah. So it's not a daily thing anymore. Yeah. But I also think when that was originally starting, they capped how many overdraft fees you could accumulate in one day.
Right.
So if you had like 6 items go through, they could only overdraft you for like 3 or 4 of those items. Because people were, thousands of dollars in debt just from overdraft fees.
I watched people lose their homes, lose their cars, lose their businesses. I was in a position, luckily, where I wasn't affected in that way. I lost a lot of personal money. I hadn't started independence training yet. I was still employed by other people, so it hit me hard from that perspective. But I was still okay. I've always managed because I'm a relatively resourceful person, which is part of what I'm about to talk about next, to make it through this. So when people want to talk about how do you prepare for this shit? I couldn't have foreseen the recession coming. I don't know at that time, didn't know more now, but probably still not enough about that financial world to have predicted that. Plenty of people were predicting it. I was not really paying attention. I was too busy making money and working and living and being a dad, right? I couldn't have predicted coronavirus. 3 or 4 months ago, I had no idea this shit was going to hit us. Here's some ways to prepare for all this shit. Swine flu, Y2K, all this. Number one, diversify your skill sets. If you are a one-trick pony, what the fuck? It's time to diversify your skill sets. Have multiple things that you're capable of doing. I am glad to have grown up in the trades, working construction with my dad, and then post-military getting into the trades again and working in that until I got into training and doing what we do, educationally now. I'm glad that I have a set of nail bags in the garage. I know how to sling a hammer. I know how to drive a fucking nail. I know how to pour concrete, frame a house. I know how to plumb. I know how to do those trades. I also know how to do other things. I'm using that as an example, but I know how to do other things as well. But diversify yourself. Set yourself up. Almost look at sometimes when people talk about second jobs or whatever, they're like, oh God, I don't want a second job. Take all my time. Don't look at it like that. Look at it as an educational opportunity. Look at it as personal enrichment. There's things that I go do so that I can learn more about that world. Even since doing training as a full-time job, I've worked in security, I've worked in fugitive recovery, I've worked in contracting. I still do some construction projects from time to time. Like, Whatever I can do to A, make a little extra money on the side, I'm never scared of that, and B, to continue to diversify my skills. Even if that's not necessarily a job I want to go into, it's now something that I can sit back, even at a time like this, we don't know how long this is going to last. Now I've got some other skill sets I might be able to apply. Hey, maybe training takes a dip, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh shit, I need a way to pay my freaking bills. I can go into other lines of work. I'm also not afraid to do other things because I don't see myself as any one thing. I don't look at myself and say, I am a instructor or an educator or whatever, so, I can't go stock shelves at the Safeway or something. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I go fucking do it. And a lot of people say, I'll do whatever it takes to survive. And then you give them an opportunity. I've been down this road. I've been the boss for a long time. In the construction trades, I ran, job sites and crews. In the, you know, my own personal business, obviously, I can you know, manage people. And during all this time, I've been in charge of people. I know that most people are full of fucking shit when they say, I will do anything to survive. And you go, then do this. Well, I don't want to fucking do that. Well, this is what the job entails. Well, I don't want to do it. A lot of people think they want to do it because the alternative isn't worse. Now, here's the problem. If you're not willing to do it when conditions are good, somehow people believe in this idea that all of a sudden when conditions are bad, their mentality is going to change. No, it's not. And guess what? All those jobs that you're hoping to get when shit goes downhill will already be taken by those who diversified early and got in on those positions quickly and were there from the beginning, who were already willing to go, hey, man, I see this shit going downhill. Maybe I want to go pop on this second job or something, you know, so that I can learn how to take care of myself a little bit better. So from that perspective, diversify your skill sets. Now's a good time to go out and get educated.
Yeah, that's the thing too. I mean, even for women who are single women with kids or without kids, now's the time really with your downtime and, you know, if you have kids, doing the education piece for them, but for yourself as well, diversifying, you know, look up your car and look up how to change the oil, how to rotate a tire, how to change a tire. You know, do things like that that you don't know how to do because we don't know how long that's going to last for. You know, they could shut everything down and all of a sudden, like I was, you know, panicking the other day about, oh shit, the oil needs to be changed. So we need to get it in and make an appointment. And it's one of those things like, yes, I know how to do it, which, you know, is smart. I know how to change tires, oil, you know, general maintenance and things, you replace hoses and things like that. But for women who don't know how to do that stuff, now's a great time, even for a house. Like, look at your plumbing, figure out how to unclog drains and kind of be more self-reliant, because some stuff's going to get shut down and you can't rely on something. And then you're going to be in an emergency situation where your toilet is overflowing and you don't know how to shut the water off. Like, now's a good time to start using Google while we have it, because who knows how long we'll have internet for, and start learning basic stuff to take care of yourself in a situation where you can't just call someone to come over and take care of it for you.
And on that note, other things to start preparing for all these crazy things, because once the coronavirus is over, and it will be, who knows what's coming up next? Right. What's going to happen next? We don't know. I know that financially, if the coronavirus was solved today, financially, a lot of people would still be screwed.
Yeah.
So let's just say it's solved today. And the next thing is coming down the pike at us. Another thing to think about doing is starting to learn more about self-food preparation, meaning gardening, if you can, if you got the space, indoor gardening. Right now, a lot of people got time and you got energy. Learn how to garden in an apartment. Yeah. I've lived in apartments before and grown tomatoes inside of an apartment. It's possible. Start looking at growing those types of things, expanding your knowledge on gardening, expanding your knowledge on food preparation, food storage, and then cooking with your food storage. This is something I often tell people when they're looking at storing food. It's like you need to store at least a month of the normal stuff you eat.
Yeah.
So if that's freaking gummy bears and Ritz crackers and all that other extra shit, you need a month's worth of that shit.
Goldfish.
Yeah, goldfish for your kids. You're not just, anyone who's a parent is knows that you're not just going to go, okay, kids, the end of the world is now upon us, so we're just going to go from eating the normal stuff that we eat, whatever, mac and cheese, tacos, whatever. We're going to go from that, and now we're going to pull out MREs and ground wheat, and we're just going to eat that to survive, and your kid's going to be like, nope, nah, I'm not going to eat that shit. And then it's going to be this fight, which is going to add stress to an already stressful situation. Not to mention the fact that all of those weird things going into your freaking body are going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
All right, digestion, what's the right word I'm looking for? Waste production, right? All those things. You're going to get backed up or end up with diarrhea, one of those two. So it's like you want to look at storing stuff for food? Great. Store a lot of food. Also store some Imodium and some X-Lax and some Pepto-Bismol
yeah.
and some Tums. You need those kinds of medications, which, by the way, are still fully stocked on the shelves today. But you want to be able to have access to all those things so that now, as I'm looking at food storage, I might need those things to help along with this process. And in that same vein of that kind of food storage, have a month of that normal stuff, and then get stuff you're actually legitimately gonna eat. Mm-hmm. Like, again, people have this idea in their head of like, well, if I had to, if the chips were down, this is how I would do it. And you're like, but would you really? Are you really prepared to just go from eating your normal stuff to that mentally and physically? Yeah. Are you ready for that? Most people aren't.
Well, also, remember when I was reading that thing to you about how they were saying that everybody should not have to have a license to go hunting anymore?
Yeah, that was a fucking joke.
Because people think that they're going to go out into the wilderness and kill animals and eat animals.
Let's talk about that for a second. I've been hunting my entire life. All right? My father grew up. Here's a little family heritage knowledge for you guys, all right? For you guys who may not know this. My great-grandfather had the first guide hunting license in Teton County. That's Jackson, Wyoming. All right? That's where my family's from. It's where I was born. If you've been there lately, it's a freaking tourist trap. But it used to not always be that way. All right? Our family was huge into that industry and that business. All the way up until the time that my father became an adult. And then some things within the family happened. My grandfather died, who was the oldest of the brothers, and other things happened, and et cetera, et cetera. Led him down the path of my dad no longer doing that work and instead getting into construction trades post his Army experience, right? But that's who I grew up with. That's the man who taught me how to hunt. My dad has an innate, it's fucking freakish, his innate ability to locate game animals. It's uncanny. Where he'll be like, look around, sniff the air, walk around for a couple hours, and be like, the elk will be over there. And then you walk over there and you shoot an elk. It's fucking insane, all right? I don't possess that skill, unfortunately, but I am pretty good at tracking the animals and their behavior. If I did learn one thing from my dad, it's definitely tracking behavior. I've never been on a big game hunt that I'd either used to fill the tag or get on enough animals where shots could have been fired or maybe were fired. Right?
Yeah.
So when you consider that I, with that knowledge, and there's hunters who are way better than me, all right, way, way better. But even with my knowledge and experience, I don't fill every tag I ever get. Consider that. The average big game tag that gets filled in Arizona is roughly 40%. 40. And when Jared's on the show next week, he may correct those numbers too, because I'm going to ask him what the current numbers are. But I believe it's about 40%. That means 4 out of 10 people who purposely and specifically buy licenses, go into the lottery for tags, get drawn for tags, dedicate time, energy, effort, money to going out into the woods and killing animals. Only 4 out of 10 of them are successful. And some fucking Yahoo from the internet thinks the Game and Fish should suspend all hunting license fees so that they can just go out and hunt with no license. First of all, that's ridiculous. All right, the license fees are needed, not just for the state's management of the animals, but for overall sportsmen. Conservation is funded by sportsmen and hunters, not by stupid fucking nonprofit organizations that want to save all the bunnies. That's shit. They don't fund shit. All right, conservation is primarily funded by sportsmen. If we stop that, then we stop the conservation funds. That's a problem. Guys, a license is not that expensive.
It's like $25, $50 if you want to do.
Yeah, $50 or so for a double.
Yeah.
And for your kids, $5. In the state of Arizona, it's $5.
And I think, isn't it like 6 and under are free? Like, you don't have to have a license.
Well, you don't have to have a license for anyone under the age of 14.
14, okay.
Unless they've been through Game and Fish Hunter Ed and they want to hunt large game. And then they have to buy a license in order to put in. And I believe they can start hunting at 11 if they've been through Hunter's Ed. It cuts that time down so they can go out a little bit earlier. But under the age of 14, and don't quote me on that, guys. Get on the freaking Arizona Game and Fish regs and read for yourself, all right? But if my memory serves, it's 14 until you have to have a license. And even then, from 14 to 18, it's $5.
Yeah.
And if your son is a Eagle Scout, he gets to prolong that youth hunt and those youth prices until he's 21. There's a benefit to becoming an Eagle Scout. If you can survive not getting molested by your fucking Scoutmaster, I guess. These days seems like to be a big freaking problem. But anyways, the point is that everyone has this idea, oh, if something happens, I'm going to run to the woods. You're going to run to the woods? Who? With the other 10 million fucking people who pick up their shit and go to the woods too?
Yeah, I think every person we talk to, so they're all going to leave town.
And you're like, cool, I'll go raid all your houses. Leave, go, fuck, go. You can only take so much with you. I'll take the rest.
Have fun sitting in traffic.
All my shit is here. Yeah. Right? Yeah, and have fun sitting in traffic trying to get out of town. Yeah. And where are you going to go? How many of you guys have tried to go camping on a really busy weekend? Every spot is freaking taken. And you're like, oh, I go way off grid. Yeah, you and me and a million other people all like to go way off grid. When all the easy spots are taken, all the more difficult spots will start to be encroached upon. And now you're out there with no support.
Yeah.
Right?
And fighting amongst yourselves.
Now that food, that water, all that. And what kind of gear do you really have for yourselves? What if it's too hot? Do you really have all the supplies to keep cool? What if it's too cold? Your SpongeBob SquarePants fucking backyard sleeping bag that you have for your kids ain't going to survive in December, man. So we got to be thinking outside of the box here when we're looking at this kind of overall preparation thing. I want to shelter in place. Yeah, that's the best way to do it. It's easy to defend a set structure. Plus, this is where my people are. This is where my supplies are. This is where resources are. This is where my network is. When would I leave? That's a question we get asked a lot. When safety or security or all resources are completely compromised. You're going to be overrun, so to speak, you leave. Or you're going to be totally out of resources. Yeah, leave. Might be too late by then. But yeah, running for the hills so you can hunt game and live off the land. How many people even know how to do that?
None.
Here's the problem. You're going to be going, you're going to go, you're like, oh, I know how to filter water. Yeah, you're filtering water. You know what these fucking morons are doing upstream? They're shitting in the water. They're pissing in the water. They're cleaning themselves in the fucking water.
That you're now drinking.
That you're now trying to filter all that bullshit out of. The problem is everyone who runs to the hills and you listening to the show are probably more ready for this kind of stuff and have more skill sets similar to mine and Drew's where you're like us. You have developed these skill sets over your life or at least over the last handful of years, right? You've been developing these skill sets. Great. Is everyone who's going to be out there with you developing the same skill sets? No. Are people going to waste? Yes. They're going to kill 10 deer and eat part of all of them and leave the rest to rot.
The other thing is they're not even going to know how to butcher it in the first place and or what to eat.
Yeah, they're just going to destroy the freaking resources because they don't know.
Yeah, and then all the animals are going to leave.
And then the animals that do survive are going to become so damn difficult to hunt.
Yeah.
They're going to be almost impossible to find. Yep. Now, you go to places like Africa and certain parts of Africa. There are parts of Africa where it's like there are no game animals. You do not drive out into the woods around, you know, the savannah, whatever you want to call it, around certain cities and find game animals. I mean, you don't see rabbits. There's no birds. There's nothing because it's all been killed, man. It's all getting eaten. If someone finds something, they eat it. That's why you have to have these game preserves so there's actually game animals still alive. And even then, those things get poached. It's like the reality of living off the land is not that good. So when you think about, I'm going to store food or I'm going to do that, it's like you really need to think about long-term storage options. Start looking at food savers. Start looking at long-term food storage options of realistic food that you eat all the time. Yeah, no one's going to want to eat your stale-ass crackers.
You know, get one of those dehydration machines.
Dehydrators, yeah. Yeah. So that's a big element of like when we're looking at getting ready, preparing, whatever, for surviving these things. Oftentimes people are like, cool, I'm going to go run, grab all the toilet paper. It's like, if you're running to grab toilet paper, you already are not keyed up to survive. I'm sorry, you're not. That's literally like being in a gunfight and asking for an ammo drop. Oh shit, we're in a gunfight. Anyone have any ammo? It's too fucking late, dude. There's been a lot of times in my life where I've done a lot of different types of things and I've prepped certain things in my life. You know, there was certain work I've done or even, you know, in the military, like prepping things. It's like, do we really need this? Or could we replace that with some water and some ammo and some freaking grenades or some smoke? Or like, what can we put in here, right? In concrete, when I was doing construction, people always knew my truck was like a fucking supply truck. Any other crew, because I ran a crew, so I had this big freaking crew truck, and like all the other crews always go, hey dude, you got any freaking, you know, 16 penny nails? Well, you fucking know I do. You know? Hey man, you got some extra freaking line? Hey dude, you got an extra freaking bull float? Hey man, you got an extra, you know, mag? Yeah, I got all the shit that you need. It's gonna cost you, but yeah, I got it all. You know? Why? Because I didn't ever want to show up to a job site and then be like, oh shit, we don't have what we need. I don't want to. I was never that way. Always had what I needed. You know, planned ahead to have what I needed. Same thing in training. You know? And I reuse as much as possible for as long as possible. My instructors, you know, other instructors will give us a hard time sometimes about how much I reuse shit or how kind of picky I am about, hey, don't waste this or don't waste that. Yeah, of course they do. They're not the ones paying for it. So, yeah, it doesn't make as much sense to them. But when you're looking at it as a resource, a finite, limited resource, suddenly wasting become or not wasting, I should say, becomes a way of life. Pre-staging equipment and assets, not wasting materials. This is a fucking lifestyle. This is not something we just start doing because all of a sudden the apocalypse is upon us. When the apocalypse is upon us, all of a sudden people are like, oh, well, now I'm gonna. No, you're not. You're not suddenly overnight going to change these shitty habits you've had your whole life of wasting shit and drinking half a drink and not eating all the food on your plate and not physically taking care of yourself. Oh, now I'm going to change everything. No, you're not, because you have to change 50 fucking things. Not going to happen. You got to sit down now. This is a perfect time in the middle of something. This is a perfect time to do a self-analysis and be like, what did I fail to do? There's things that we failed to do for sure. So now we look down and say, what did we fail to do? How can we improve on that starting now? Not starting later, not starting when the coronavirus is over, but how are we going to do it now? You know, physical fitness is another thing people don't really consider. I want to be hard to kill, like I mentioned earlier. I want to be hard to kill, not in a gunfight. Yeah. That's important. But the reality of me getting into gunfights is not very good. But the reality of me getting sick, that's really good. So are you taking your multivitamins? Have you stocked up on multivitamins? What if you do have to dip into your food storage? You're not getting the kind of nutrients you need. Can you take some multivitamins along with it to hopefully put some of that shit back into your body? You know, are you looking at physical fitness from a storage standpoint? Do you have basic exercise equipment at your house? I'm happy we do. We don't have a full gym. You know, I was watching a freaking Instagram video the other day from The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and he's got a killer home gym. Holy shit. It's like a gym. It's a full fucking gym, right? He also has a couple dollars more in his bank account than we do. So he's got a pretty badass gym. But we have what we need. First of all, I have my own body weight, which is always a great exercise tool. We've got a nice park across the street from the house. We've got a full set of kettlebells. We have dumbbells. We have resistance bands, right? We have the things that we need to, in a very small space, have a full gym. We can have a full gym in a small garage or go over to the freaking park and have a full gym.
Yeah. I feel like people are looking at this as vacation mode and not taking this as like, hey, I need to really prepare my body. You know, take the time now if you haven't worked out. You know, there's apps that can get you started, like the planking app that I have. You know, it goes all the way from beginners to, you know, pro plankers, and it takes you through the whole steps. Like, start something basic and easy, and, you know, get your kids involved, because that's huge right now, because all kids are doing are sitting online and playing video games. You know, at least 30 minutes a day, get your kids outside and have them be active. Play tag with them. Play hide and seek outside, because those are still physical activities that they're doing, and they're having fun enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, we've been going to a lot of parks lately and doing exercise stuff, especially with the kids and all that. It's like we go and hit a park. It's depressing how few people are there. You know, I went on my morning run today and I'm going on this. I shouldn't say my morning run as if it's a regular thing. I went on a morning run. Normally we run in the evening, and I went on a morning run.
He's trying to get blackout.
I'm trying to blackout bingo for McKellar Running Club, and I needed a dawn run. So my freaking tired ass was stayed up late last night and got up at the butt crack of dawn this morning so I could go get my morning run in before the sun came up so I can check that box because I'm trying to win. But I'm on a morning run this morning, and I'm running past this beautiful, beautiful park. There's nobody there. Now, I will say that in the morning, I saw a significant amount of people along the running path I was on. There was a handful of people walking dogs and hanging out and doing all that kind of stuff. So that was pretty freaking cool. You know, it was good to see. But there wasn't enough of them, to be quite honest with you.
Well, yesterday when we were driving, remember we passed those people at our big park?
We did see that. It was like a dozen people or so.
There was a dozen people there working out. They all had their their weights, and they were weightlifting and training. And
maintaining good 6 foot social distance from each
other.
They
all were. And it was awesome to see.
And so, again, that's part of it is like all these people are at home looking at this like, finally, some well-deserved time off. Yeah. First of all, no. Second of all,
don't get fat and lazy sitting on the couch.
What are you doing now?
Yeah.
You know, Netflix has so many downloads, they've had to like upgrade their servers and limit download capability in certain places. I was reading online the other day that Warzone option on Call of Duty is 30 million people on it.
Which, by the way, is tons of fun.
It is tons of fun. It is a fun thing to play, but 30 million people. So we have all these kids at home. And now we have all these kids in Arizona. Our schools are closed, of course, till the end of the school year. So it's like, what are you going to be doing with your kids? You know, my oldest son is freaking super bummed because baseball, right? As a sophomore, he makes varsity this year. He's super excited. He works his fucking ass off to make it happen. And then the whole damn season gets canceled. He's like, well, fuck, what am I going to do to stay up on baseball? Because he's trying to work through the collegiate scholarship program so he can get some scholarships for it because he's a pretty damn good baseball player. And it's like, dude, I'm now organizing like, dude, get your freaking dudes together and let's go freaking play some baseball. Let's keep your guys in shape. And the biggest problem he's having with his other kids on his team,
they don't want to fucking do it. They want to sit at home and play video games and eat junk.
Oh, well, we'll do it next. It's like, they're all going to get out of shape. And that, I'm just telling my son, I'm like, hey, dude, the better for you because this is going to be your competition right here. And you're going to slaughter these kids when it comes time to freaking go try out for teams again or when it times, you know, summer club hopefully will still happen. And it's like, you'll be that much better. You'll be stronger, smarter, faster because you took advantage of this time, this quote-unquote downtime, and now you're up and running. And you're better than you were before. It's like, really, when people are looking at how to prepare for this stuff, it's like, okay, what did I not do this time? Because there will be another one. This is not the end of society, folks. There will be another opportunity to go through this whatever the hell happens next again. And during that time, you want to be better. How are you going to be better? So that's an important element of this, you know? So now if we're going to do that, what are some other things we got to consider? You mentioned maintenance on vehicles. That's a good place to start.
Yeah, as a woman, I mean, I would definitely start looking at, you know, a lot of, again, going back to like James and Dobson, they're all about aesthetics and
you guys getting called out.
I love you both. But as a woman, like now's really the time to, if you don't work out from home, do strengthening exercises, do core exercises to build up so you're harder to get taken down. And you know, you have to think of it as, if you're a single mom, like look at Stephanie, one of the gals on our running team. She just went out and purchased a gun because she's afraid. She doesn't know what's going to happen. So it's like now she wants to get set up for training. And it's like, okay, so as a woman who lives by yourself, now you're an easier target, especially with when we don't know what's going on. Start training, you know, build up your core, build up your cardio, build up your strength. So you, if you have to fight, you can fight. If you have to, say your vehicle's broken down and now you have to walk or run to a certain place, make sure you can, you know, have the capability to do that. That's why I do distance running. Mm-hmm. What if we are somewhere and one of the kids gets hurt and we have, you know, 30 miles that we have to cover? At least I know I can run 30 miles. I've done it before. I can do it again. But I have to stay in that conditioning shape to make sure that, hey, if I have to run for help or I have to run somewhere else because we are downed vehicles or something like that, I have the capability of doing it. So it's one of those things where I feel like people should really take advantage of, if they have been thinking about getting in shape or running or just walking outside and building that strength in themselves, now is the time to do it instead of being lax and sitting on the couch and watching Netflix and chilling and whatever. I mean, yeah, that's fun. I mean, we did that last night. We watched our show last night, you know, downtime.
Sure.
But all day we were out and about running around. But that's also
normal, right? Like, there's that idea of creating these normal habits like this, where, yeah, normally during the day, but also yesterday we went running and took the kids and we all went and did a big event and then we hung out, you know, and we worked out with the kids more and then we were out and about and, you know, we worked on health and we washed the dogs outside and then, you know, we came home and everyone was playing games and working, you know, with each other, and we're helping the young dudes freaking learn how to read better. And it's like, there's a lot of shit going on. That's our normal day. Yeah. So then, yeah, at night we're going to sit down, kick back, have a beer, watch a TV show. That's fine. That's also not what we're doing all day long.
And the other thing is to remember, too, is it takes 30 days to create good habits, you know, and sometimes you have to break your old habits. And sometimes, you know, people are just like, ugh, I just don't want to get up and have to work out. Mm-hmm. Start changing your mind about how your thinking process on getting you motivated, because realistically, the number one killer for motivation is your own self. You talk yourself out of everything. Mm-hmm. Set little goals, you know, set little things like, today I'm going to learn about how to change the oil in my car. Go to Google or YouTube and YouTube your specific car and just watch people, because people like to teach, and you can find any video you want on YouTube about how to change tires, you know, how to change your oil. As a woman, I think it's very important that women are well-rounded and know how to take care of themselves. I'm a huge advocate for, as you know, I like to do things by myself, you know, fix your toilet. You know, if it's leaking, figure out how to fix it. Learn how to turn the water off in your house. Learn how to change light bulbs on ladders. If you have a fear of heights, set a little goal like, hey, I'm gonna go up the ladder like 4 or 5 steps, just hang out here for a little bit. You know, do little things like that to get you out of your comfort zone and push you into doing more things.
And also look at preparing, like you mentioned vehicles a couple times now, look at preparing your vehicles for whatever may come long term. Like, if you need some maintenance right now, either figure out how to do it yourself or get it done.
Yeah, schedule that appointment, because they're not going to be taking appointments much longer.
Yeah, we don't know how much longer this is going to go. You know, if they start shutting down essential businesses or non-essential businesses, and you need tires, you need a tire rotation, you need an oil change, something simple, oh shit.
Yeah.
So you look at preparing those things. Again, this is building those habits. Like you mentioned, it takes 30 days to build a habit. Building these habits are things that, like, it's almost hard for me sometimes when I'm teaching people about being prepared. It's almost hard for me to break down all the little things that I do in order to teach people, because it's just something I do, right? It's just something I do.
Uncle Ryan says top off your tank.
Yeah, absolutely. Top off your tanks. You got oil prices plummeting.
Yeah.
Top off your tanks. Go grab a couple 5-gallon jugs and fill them up and keep them on hand.
I mean, we don't even let ours get past 3/4 anymore.
Not right now.
So literally every day we get to 3/4, we fill it back up. So that's just another thing. And again, put supplies in your car. You don't want to risk getting into a car and all these people are leaving to get out of the city and that's still your game plan. All of a sudden you pop a tire. All of a sudden one of your hose comes busts off because you have an older vehicle and you didn't properly maintain it.
Yeah.
Check your hoses. This is Arizona, people. Mm-hmm. Hoses crack and leak all the time.
So do windshield wipers. They bust. Now you're in the middle of a fucking monsoon storm, right? And your metal freaking wiper has no rubber on it. So
exactly.
Check those things. Check your tires. Rotate your tires. Look for cracking. Stay topped off, like was mentioned. I mean, I always like to stay on the top half anyways. Now we're staying on the top 3/4. I mean, yeah. I'm not letting it get that low. I mean, we're stopping at gas stations a lot these days, and that's the plan. I'm going to keep stopping at gas stations.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it topped off, because now if something does happen, I'm like, oh, shit, we got to jump in the car and go get the kids. I don't want to be on a quarter of a tank.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Oh, shit, we got to jump in the car and get out of here because we're being evacuated for the next whatever emergency.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to be on a quarter of a tank. Oh, yeah, I'm going to stop at the gas station. Yeah, you and 10 million other fucking people are going to do
that. And the other thing is like, if you have other motorized vehicles, make sure they're up to speed. Make sure their tires, like we have a dirt bike and we have a Tom car.
Mm.
You know, make sure the dirt bike's properly working, because you never know if you have to use it.
And that may be more useful under certain circumstances than
a car.
Than a car.
Right.
You know? Especially with, you know, gas, fuel being what it is. If fuel becomes a problem and it's like, hey, we still need to run down and grab some groceries. Well, man, I can freaking, you know, jump in the Tom car or jump on a freaking dirt bike and zip down to the road.
Yeah.
Use almost nothing in fuel, come back. I can go get the groceries, bring them back without having to hop in a truck. And I can take alternate routes, especially with a dirt bike, right? Jump on the fucking canal and take the canal road down and hop off on a side road and cut through an alleyway. And there's a lot of places I can go on that. I might not be able to go in a truck.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Again, this is a way of thinking. And I think that's the biggest thing we want to get across with the show today, is like, this is a completely different way of thinking. It's not completely different for most of the people who are listening. I think for most people who are listening, like, yeah, we got this. hopefully we've given you a few new ideas. Yeah. But for most people, this is a new way of thinking. So the people in your life, remember, you may be dialed in, but how are the people around you? Are you sharing this with your kids? Are you sharing this with your coworkers? Are you sharing this with your family members, your tribe? Some of them aren't going to want to listen to you.
Right.
This is a good time to use something like this to make them listen to you.
And right now, if you haven't, talk to your kids about it. I mean, we talked to Mila, and she's 4, and she understands that there's a sickness going on. And, you know, she can't go to her dance class. She can't go to daycare. You know, we're more and more talking to all the little kids about, like, hey, this is the problem that's going on. Mm-hmm. Make them aware. Make them understand why we are doing some of the ways that we are doing now. Like, we started talking about with the kids not being wasteful. Mm-hmm. You know, if they have food that they don't eat, we're going to save it and we're going to eat it later. You know, start implementing with your kids, having that conversation, like, you know, there's just some things going on. There's a sickness. And help them get into the preparation process as well, because then that is just going to build their future for when they're adults, that they will always have the tools necessary to survive something. You know, and just like back to the vehicles, you know, if you have little kids, pack little snacks and then just leave them in the vehicle. Like, we have goldfish and little things like that, fruit snacks and things like that. It's not hot right now, so the fruit snacks won't melt. But kind of always just have a little hand, like snacks on hand for the kids. Because I know when I used to pick up Mila from school, her first question was like, I'm hungry, do you got snacks for me? Mm-hmm. It's like, yep, here you go. But also keep aspirin or ibuprofen or something in the car as well. I mean, our vehicle's filled with sanitizing wipes and napkins and aspirin and things like that. But things that you normally wouldn't think of to keep in there, start keeping in there. You know, we have a case of water in the vehicle. Just keep some water in the vehicle, because you don't know what's going to happen if you get stuck somewhere. I mean, even when there's accidents on the freeway and you're stuck in your vehicle for 3 to 4 to 5 hours, you know, it's happened, especially on the 101. It gets shut down and all of a sudden you're stuck there with all these people. You're going to need water. You're going to need snacks for kids. You're going to need, you know, if you have a headache, your kids are screaming and things of that nature. It's always a good idea to put certain things in your car just to have them there.
Well, and to kind of wrap this show up here, because we're about out of time, is this. Good training and good preparation is all about removing variables. It's all about removing as many variables as you can. Look at the variables within emergency preparedness. Figure out which ones you can control. You can't control what the next big situation is. But you can control how you're ready for it. You can't be ready for everything, but you can be ready for a lot. And the more you're ready for this or that, the more you'll be ready for everything. The more you will be prepared for, hey, maybe I didn't prep for that specifically, but I have this capability, so I'm more ready for that. Or because I've removed this, I'm not as freaked out, so this isn't as big of a deal for me. All right, you guys. Next week. Oh, sorry. I skipped ahead. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Sorry, I almost skipped our ending. You can get hosting information, info@trainingaz.com. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Redwire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. If you're sitting at home not doing much else, a lot of great shows on the network. So, you know, make sure you look them up. Next week, Jared is going to be in the studio with us talking about fair chase and hunting and resource management. He'll be able to tell us a little bit more about some of the things we talked about today, like hunting and how people are or are not going to be ready. So until then, wash your fucking hands. Also, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.